Holy Gospel from the Gospel of Luke, 9th chapter. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. This is a good news. You may be seated. Let's pray. Gracious God, shine in our lives that we might reflect your light. In Jesus' name, amen. I think there's a football game later today, right? A few years ago, somebody put together a Super Bowl Sunday worship service. I was looking back at that and a few of the parts that I like. Before the opening hymn in this worship service on Super Bowl Sunday, the pastors will toss a coin, and the winner can choose whether to preach or lead the rest of the service, and the loser can decide whether to defend the pulpit or the altar. So Pastor Jade's helping out today, so he can flip the coin, decide. We usually don't have acolytes, but if we did, according to this service, any acolyte found to be in illegal motion will be assessed a 5-yard penalty or loss of one candle. And a sermon in excess of 18 minutes will be regarded as delay of service, and the preacher will lose possession of the pulpit. Okay, maybe not. But as I think about how important that game is in our culture and our society, and together with some other things happening this week, it's helped me to think, you know, what really matters? What's really important? This past Wednesday, a group of pastors, ELCA Lutheran pastors from around this part of Chicago, came together and met here, and I volunteered to preach for the worship service. We had a worship service and then a meal and some conversation, and I figured I would just take a look at whatever I did 3 years ago, because, you know, these same lessons come around every 3 years. I just take a look at what I did 3 years ago and use that for the pastor's meeting, and I looked in my files, and I didn't preach on this Sunday 3 years ago, and so I said, well, what about 6 years ago? I didn't preach 6 years ago either on this Sunday. So I said, I think instead what I'm going to do is ask them to contribute to the conversation and try to come up with the ideas for this text. And so we all sat around and wondered together about what the transfiguration might mean. And after the worship service, one of the pastors came up to me, and we had a few people had shared their ideas during the service. He said to me, "I didn't say anything during the worship, didn't have a chance to share then, but here's what I was thinking, and it's about what's really important." And he shared his idea, and I said, "Can I use that this weekend?" And he said, "Sure, here are my notes," and he handed me his notes. And he pointed to four things in this text that are really important. What matters? First one, friendship matters. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. Friendship matters. Sometimes when Jesus went up on the mountain, he went by himself. This time he took with him Peter and John and James, maybe because he knew something was going to happen and he wanted them to be a part of that experience. Friends matter to Jesus and they matter to us. During the adult forum this morning, they're going to be watching, and if you go at 10:15, you'll be able to see this, a TED Talk that there's a study that's been going, and it's actually a spoiler alert, I'm going to tell you what you're going to see if you go to the class in a little bit. There's a study been going on at Harvard for 75 years. Four different directors of this study. And the study has followed particular people throughout their lives, trying to figure out what makes people healthy and happy. And you know what they're finding out? It's not about money. It's not about fame. It's not about achievements. The result of that 75-year study tells us that what makes us healthier and happier are good relationships. Maybe it shouldn't be a surprise, but good relationships, good friendships are good for us. And it's not just the number of friends. It's the quality of friendships. Starting at home and building out from there. Our Savior wants to be authentic, caring community. We want to be friends. We want to grow as friends. We want you to develop friendships. They say that people come to churches for a whole lot of reasons, but they tend to stay in a particular congregation because they've made friends. And I think that Jesus is thinking that friendship matters. Second thing that matters, prayer matters. While he was praying, while Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed, his clothes became dazzling white. In the Gospel of Luke, again and again and again, you'll come back to the fact that Jesus goes off by himself or with others or teaches his disciples all about prayer. Prayer matters. And isn't it interesting that as we talk about friendship and we talk about prayer, one of a favorite hymn that we like to sing is, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." We'll stop there. That connection of friendship and prayer, that the prayer that we have connects us to the one who loves us more than we can imagine, more than we can ever know, who loves us today and tomorrow and forever. And it is for our benefit that we're encouraged to pray. C.S. Lewis said this about starting each day. He said, "The moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists in shoving it all back, in listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting the other, larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in." I don't do that too well. When I wake up in the morning, first things I tend to think about are my to-do list, what new emails I've received so I can check on those, all the things that come rushing at me. And I think it's a good reminder that it's helpful for us through prayer to refocus our day on what is really important, on what really matters. Jesus took that focus on prayer and encourages us to do that as well. Third thing that really matters, encouragement matters. "Then from the cloud came a voice that said, 'This is my son, my chosen.'" You know where we've heard those words before? When Jesus was baptized, same words. God the Father said, "You are my son, my chosen one." And here we're hearing those words again, and I think I know why. It's because Jesus' ministry up to this point had been a ministry of teaching and healing. And now, starting at this point in the Gospel of Luke, teaching and healing continue, but it moves toward Jerusalem. Jesus moves toward Jerusalem, toward the cross, toward suffering and death. It would be easy, it seems to me, for Jesus to continue to do the things that people like seeing him do. They liked seeing him teach. They liked seeing him heal those around him. They liked to be healed or their loved ones healed. And it would have been easy to keep doing those things, but there were things that he needed to confront, difficulties that he needed to face in the culture around him, in the people and the beliefs that were there. But to confront those things meant facing struggle and eventually death. And in order to have the courage to move forward toward Jerusalem, he needed encouragement. And the voice from the cloud, the voice of God the Father, says, "You are my son. You're my chosen one." And it gave him strength to move forward. I think we need to hear that voice too. We need to hear the voice that tells us again and again that we are significant, that God cares for us. That's why baptism is such an amazing gift, because in that little bit of water, in that just a couple of moments at the font, we are reminded in a very physical and present way that God loves us today and tomorrow and forever, and we keep coming back week after week to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion so we can experience that, so we can know that God's love is there for us always. Always. Because as we go into those difficult times in our lives, and we don't know when they are going to come or what they are going to be, but when we go into the difficult times in our lives, we need the encouragement that God is with us and that the family of faith surrounds us. And the fourth thing that matters, Jesus matters. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen." That's what we just heard. And then we add the next three words, which are, "Listen to him." Listen to him. And we hear and listen again and again and again throughout our lives, but it seems to me that right at this point in the Gospel of Luke, maybe he's encouraging us to hear something significant. As we look back to the words that came right before the lesson that we read, you know what they were talking about? Jesus said, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected and be killed and on the third day be raised." And he said to them all, and he says to us, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it." Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to him. And then knowing Jesus, we make Jesus known. Do you remember the last line of the gospel reading? It said, when they came down the mountain, they remained silent. And they didn't tell anybody. At least at that point, they didn't tell anybody. And now those disciples, those who had witnessed that, are gone. You know who that leaves to tell the story? Well, you know the story. You've heard the story. You're listening to the good news that Jesus is telling us. Knowing Jesus, the next step is to make Jesus known. That matters. Friendship matters. Prayer matters. Encouragement matters. And Jesus matters. May you follow. In Jesus' name, amen.